listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin. We are so happy to have you here with us. And, you know, we thought we were talking offline. You know, we often plan our shows out a while in advance. We're going to be doing an entire month on emotional intelligence. And we also like to kind of tap into what we're hearing from the listeners out there, from the people who reach out to us about the show. And a common theme that's been coming up is this idea of worthiness. I don't know if any of you might have ever struggled with this, but sometimes as human beings, we struggle with feeling like we're not enough. We're not enough to deserve that raise. We're not enough to get that promotion. Or maybe we just think, oh, I suck in general. I made this mistake at that job, or I got fired once. And so today we're going to really deep dive into how can we enhance, increase, and expand our self-confidence and our feelings of self-worth. Now, before we dive into that, though, I do want to pause for a moment and thank our sponsors who bring you the show every week, the people over at Markham Search, LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including payrolling services, temporary services, and executive search functions. So please do keep them in mind for all of your recruitment needs. So, Brandon, I know we were talking offline about this. You know, let's talk for a moment about self-worth. You know, have you ever gone through that? Have you ever had a day where you're just like, today kind of sucks and I suck and the world sucks? And I'm sorry to be that blunt, but this is the conversation I've been having with many people over the last 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah, I don't have a day. I've had decades, you know. God, a day would be lovely. Yeah.
I love you.
As I say oftentimes, I do this work because that's my narrative right there. I suck I say this a lot, but one of the best pieces of advice anyone ever gave me is, Brandon, you're not that important. And what that means is everyone's not thinking about you as much as you think you are. And the reason I would think that is, you know, someone would have a bad day and I would think, what have I done to cause it? Or that interview went terrible. That person was so mean. Why? What did I do? You know, the ego, it's actually egotistical to think that we're so important that everyone is thinking about us. But I spent a lot of my life wondering what I was doing wrong to have people treat me so poorly, especially when I was a little kid and being bullied. And I certainly didn't fit the normative of good at sports and popular or whatever it was. You know, some of those kids were mean. I mean, that's never been my forte, unfortunately, cruelty. But that made you popular, especially in the community I grew up in historically. And really, it's just, I know what happened in hindsight, right? It's a bunch of kids who would gravitate to the mean kid because that would mean that that mean person wasn't mean to them. Now, what is that all tied into? Worth. That person is being mean because they don't feel worthy. Those people are gravitating to the mean kid because they don't feel worthy. And I'm trying to just survive because I think they all see me for the worthlessness that I thought I had. So decades, Jennifer, not days, not months, decades for me. I've worked really hard over time to move forward, but it's still there. And I mention this to say that so much of it starts in our childhood. And the problem is, for our job, getting the job, the wound of the childhood might play in when you're interviewing for a job, though. If that's happening, it's going to cost you your life and your career. And it's not authentic. It's not true. You're not the wounded version of you. But so often that's how we present. So I'm hearing this a lot lately. One more thing before I turn over to you. One of the most common things I hear from people is, I didn't get that job. I didn't get that job. They didn't hire me. I don't know what I did wrong. And they spiral. My clients will spiral. As a recruiter, they spiral. And when I pause them and really have them answer the question, did they want the job? Mm-hmm. Inevitably, more times than not, the answer is no. And so often we're so busy wanting someone to want us in our careers that we don't spend nearly enough time asking, do we want them? That is where not having worth can become very dangerous. I want the promotion and raise at this company so bad. Do I actually want to stay at this company and rise? So I'll turn it back over to you, but that's my...
Yeah, it's such a powerful point, Brandon, that you raise. And, you know, I empathize with that as a person who I deal with self-worth issues myself. And sometimes, you know, people look at you and they see, oh, you're a public figure, or you're on TV or doing this or that. They think, oh, you have it all together. And it doesn't matter whether it's a famous thought leader or actor, actress, you know, being in LA, you often wind up at parties with celebrities or figureheads of companies or whomever it might be. And here's the dirty little secret. We all struggle with self-worth. That's it. You know, and the question is, do we let that drive our life? And so something that I want to really introduce in today's show and to allow each one of us to explore, this is the cool thing with anything Brandon or us or our guests speak about, we are not telling you the truth. We are sharing with you an idea that you get to try on like a coat. You get to try it on and go, oh, does this idea fit? Or if it doesn't fit, throw it back in the closet and look for something that does resonate with you. So what I want to tie in today in particular is the idea of choice. We have the ability to choose our human experience. And oftentimes, I know we did a show about a week or two ago on dealing with toxic people in the workplace. We suffer when we fail to recognize that we still have choice. Just like Brandon said, you know, you might be dreaming, salivating, thinking with all your heart, mind, body, and spirit, I want that promotion. I want that raise. I want that job. And what Brandon said is so powerful. What if before really attacking that interview, attacking that promotion, and attacking, I mean that in a very forceful but joyful way, like really going after it with gusto. What if we paused and we reflected, what is it about this promotion, this company that really makes me excited, that makes me desire it? And oftentimes, if we reflect and we see that it's about looking good, it's about having a little bit more money in the bank account. This was one of the conversations I would often have with job seekers who were looking to make the jump from, say, $80,000 or $90,000 a year to over $100,000 a year. Yeah, it looks good on paper. Okay, you get to say you're making six figures. However, what a lot of people didn't realize is, say you went from making $95,000 to $110,000. From a tax standpoint, in most places, you're going to wind up dropping back down to lower than what you would have made at $95,000. So is it really a money thing? Is it really that you're going to make that much more money if you're making $110,000 versus $95,000? You know, talk to your accountant or CPA about that. And so I say that not to discourage you. Go for $1 million a year. Go for $250,000, whatever inspires you. However, pause and ask yourself why. And ask yourself, am I able to receive that? So often in life, we don't get the dream job, the dream relationship, et cetera, because we self-sabotage. Because somewhere along the line, maybe it was a parent, maybe it was a childhood bully, whomever it was, maybe it was an early on boss who said, you're not smart enough, you're not attractive enough, you're not blank enough. Not good or bad. Again, we're not here to judge whoever helped you to get to wherever you are right now on your career path, on your personal journey. The only thing I'm asking you to do is I'm inviting you to ask yourself, is that true? And what is the reason that you want that? And if the reason that you want it is because, gosh, you know what? I want to be of service. When I reach that VP of marketing level, the amount of lives that I'm going to be able to impact is going to increase tenfold because of the reach of that I'm going to have. You know you're on the right path. Boom, you are there. You're right there, and you're going to continue to flourish and be successful. However, if perhaps, and I'm just using this as an arbitrary example, if you're after the VP of marketing job because you want a VP title or because you want an office or a higher salary, pause and just ask yourself, is that going to bring me lasting fulfillment and joy? And if not, what will? And that's part of self-love. Self-love is not looking externally for your boss's validation or the validation of your college friends or hometown friends. It's going internally and saying, What would have me feel honored, respected, appreciated, and feel valued? And it's important that you give that to yourself, because if you're constantly looking for your boss, your friends, the people in your social circles, your social media to provide that for you, you're going to suffer mentally, emotionally, psychologically as you go through life in your work and in your personal life. So, Brandon, let's talk for a moment about what are some tools, what can we do to increase our self-worth? I know you have your superpower tool, which I totally love, and I want to re-presence that. I think we talked about that in a show one time last year, but rather than having our listeners flip back through all the episodes, can you talk and re-presence this idea of owning our superpower and owning our greatness?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to audible today and say, why don't we, because this came up from audience members, listeners that were asking for this, and this came up in our conversation. So why don't we do something where we kind of just work together too, Jennifer, you and I.
Yeah.
So, for example, with this superpower, I call it the power of three. It's for a blog I did for Clorox and something I've worked for 6 years now, which is you ask your family members, your colleagues, and your friends, what's my superpower? What's my secret sauce? Doesn't matter. The number one question I ask in that actually is, how do I help you? So why don't we do this for one another for 1 second, and we'll show what it looks like. So sure. Jennifer, in your career, how have I helped you?
Oh my gosh, Brandon, you are an amazing listener. You are such a cheerleader. Like, I just want to carry you around in my pocket, because like, if I'm having a tough day and you're like, Jay Hill, you got this. And I'm like, oh, you're right, Brandon. I do got this. Thank you. Like, sometimes you need that to reflect back to you. That's what you're really astounding at, Brandon, which makes you a great coach, recruiter, attorney, is the fact that you're able to reflect back to people. Sometimes the blind spots, the things they can't see in themselves, the value they bring to the table. And I would say the other thing is that, you know, your humility and sense of humor, you kind of bring just this light, playful side, but also with like a very grounded sense of humility.
Yeah. So thank you. And as they say at Coaches Training Institute, I'm complete. Thank you. Which is the way you're saying, like, enough. I don't want to hear anything more about myself, which I just love that that's such a coach's mindset. Only coaches are so uncomfortable. A lot of people are uncomfortable with comments. But to use myself as a human guinea pig, you're the fourth leader that said to me in the last 2 weeks, talked about my listening skills or my reflecting back. And so and started with listening as a skill set. Not something I ever thought really was, but something I've certainly trained myself to do. Now, let's reverse that. So what I'm doing there is I'm looking for the thread that everyone has said. And everyone has said has hit that note on listening or the note on reflecting back. Certainly cheerleader champion has always been there. But what I'm picking up on is that unique ability. Now, for you, why don't you ask me the question, Brandon, how have I helped you?
Brandon, how have I helped you?
Well, we have a career podcast. Let's say, Brandon, how have I helped you in your career? It just sounds better.
Brandon, how have I helped you in your career?
I'm so glad you asked. I was just talking about this today. No, I really was. I really was talking about today. And I was saying to someone that you were the first person or first like one of three people that I said, I'm interested in this field, this coaching field. I was a recruiter at the time, as you know. I'll never forget. We sat down at lunch at your underneath your office. And you held this space and you listened, to use your word, but I think more importantly, you encouraged and you gave me strategy and you gave me tips and you gave me assurance. And I think that is something you do time and time and time and time and time again for thousands of other people, is you give tips and strategies and assurances that there is a path forward, that this is not ridiculous. This isn't a pipe dream. You know, something else that you did, and I think this is something you alluded to, but you find this a lot in LA and DC, any place in the world, Bay Area, that doesn't matter. Des Moines, Iowa, it doesn't matter. Is Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa, that's a thing, right? Okay. But wherever you are in the world, there's impressive people and you're an impressive person. I think sometimes when you're seen by someone who is impressive or successful, it's so important because it can help you feel better. I think it's also, though, what's detrimental, non sequitur, is when you give someone too much power and they say something harmful, then you can it hurts you a little more too. But for you, that's what I see in you. That's how you help. Now, here's the question for our listeners. When you hear those words back, how does it make you feel?
So is that a rhetorical question for a listener?
No, I'm asking genuinely. How do you feel when I say your strategy and empowerment and roadmap towards success? I mean, how does that make you feel, Jennifer Hill?
It makes me feel great. I mean, honestly, Brandon, I receive it. So typically when somebody gives me a compliment, it took me 40 years almost to be able to get to this point in my life, is I used to poo-poo a comment or like, oh, well, not really, or just flip it around and then immediately not receive it and try to put it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And somewhere on the line in the last year or so, I just began saying, I receive it. Wow, that's beautiful. It's like, okay, that's really great. I really receive that and thank you for that. And it began, Brandon, when I started to do the work. I think we've lightly touched on this during the show, but, you know, doing the work with yourself and even just imagine putting your right hand on your heart right now. Let's say, you know, you can do it with your eyes open if you're driving and listening to the show, or if you're sitting somewhere and you're at your desk listening, just imagine putting your right hand on your heart and just saying, you are enough. I cherish you. You are an extraordinary person and you're doing extraordinary things. That's something, a phrase that my business partner and vocal coach, Arthur Samuel Joseph, who's worked with world leaders like Tony Robbins and Dwayne Wade, taught me to say years ago. And had you asked me 10 years ago if I thought I was an extraordinary person or that I thought I was a good strategic advisor or valuable, the answer would have been, heck no. I thought I was a piece of crap who was, you know, faking it through life and not worth it and just really dealing with feelings of inadequacy and self-doubt. And I think the only difference is, Brandon, now is, of course, we're all going to go through moments where we feel inept, we feel inadequate. And the question is, how do we minimize that? So instead of it being decades, that we limit that to months, days, minutes. And I think that it's giving ourselves permission to have the full breadth of experience of feeling like, oh, I feel kind of crappy today, or I don't feel well. It's totally okay. Allow yourself to feel that way. And then choose, going back to my point earlier about choice, be an active participant in how long you want to choose to be sad, how long you want to choose to feel not worthy, and then put a timer on it and say, okay, self, you and me, we're gonna have a pity party. It's gonna last 48 hours and we're gonna eat ice cream and bonbons and veg out on our favorite, you know, Game of Thrones or whatever it is. And at the end of that, we're gonna dust ourselves off. We're gonna do something that makes us feel good. And then we're gonna go back and we're gonna go out and be a human being in the world again. And it just takes practice. It's about having tools in our tool belt so that when you are feeling stressed, you do the Amy Cuddy pose. You know, you do, for those of you watching on LA Talk Radio on their Facebook page, I'm doing the Superman power pose that Amy Cuddy encourages. Or you lift up your arms, you just practice breathing deeply and making your body bigger. And as you do this, you become an active participant in your own self-worth rather than waiting for your spouse or friend or boss to give you kudos.
Yeah, I had my original backdrop for the day was this picture, even though less good lighting, but I like the Superman poster behind me because it's exactly that. It means something to me, which is I spent my life more comfortable living as Clark Kent, you know, the nerd, quiet, you know, without realizing that I had my own unique abilities, but it's just what you said is so vital, which is you said two very important things for our careers and our lives. Where we focus our energy is what we put out in the world. So if we are negative to ourselves, we are going to unintentionally be negative towards others. So one of the greatest amounts of harms that anyone does is we think one of the greatest tricks I ever pulled myself, telling myself was when I am that hard to on myself, I am only hard on myself. That is not true. When I was hard on myself, there were unintended consequences on others. And once I realized that me being causing harm to me hurt others, I stopped trying to hurt myself as much. And I never realized that. I just thought, it has nothing to do with you. It's me. One. Two is how, when you're feeling these feelings of worthlessness, as Jennifer pointed out, as you pointed out so eloquently, Jennifer, they come. They will come. They're coming for you one way or another. And how do you process it? I almost immediately go into I will email 6 or 7 people and say, can we talk today? Because I know one of them is going to get me out of my funk because I'm not going to do it myself. My sister hibernates and goes away from the world. And she admits that that's not healthy. But one of the things that is one of the greatest points of contention in my life is that when she's hurting, as she has in her life. People will call me and say, help her, help her. And then I will start hating myself and beating myself up because I can't help her. And I finally just had an aha. I cannot help her until she comes out and is ready to receive help. And the amount of pain I've caused in 4 decades of my life thinking that I can help someone before they're ready is amazing. And I think that's true for other people. I think it's true for ourselves. You know, you cannot help yourself. You cannot help others until they are willing to receive help. So I think the starting place is that you're feeling worthless. If you're having doubt and pain and suffering, as we all do, first, you got to be willing to receive help. And to Jennifer's beautiful words, to receive it. Because as I've said 1,000 times about my transition or transformation, if you will, from doubt and sabotage to at least this beautiful career that I've created, is I haven't done it alone. I've done it by just stopping listening only to the negative words that I say to myself and others. That's what I would ask. If anyone's listening to this, God help me. But of the thousands of people who listen to this, I would ask you one request this week. Try for 1 week anything negative said to you to ignore and pretend it's not real, and everything positive accepted as absolute truth. And just see how you feel at the end of the week. See what that does for you. Anything negative, discounted as false. Anything positive, accepted as fundamental truth. You don't have to go through your life like that. We certainly should grow. We should receive criticism. We'll do a whole episode on how you can take feedback and take it to be better. We'll do an entire series on that. But in the short term, for 1 week of your life, anything negative, discount, anything positive, take as fundamental fact. And that includes how you speak to yourself.
Yeah, so important, Brandon. And you just made me think of, there was a book that I was reading as a mandatory reading for a retreat I was at this weekend in Sintra in Portugal. And the book was called The Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer. And, you know, he's like this guy who was kind of a hippie in, I forget where he was, in Florida or something like that. And he's like, you know, I'm just going to surrender and whatever the universe puts in front of me, I'm going to do it. And part of his process, though, that he went through in order to get to grow like to a $1 billion company, this amazing spiritual guy who's kind of living out in a forest in Florida, is that it began by observing his own thoughts, observing the things he was saying about himself, and how this voice inside his head, which, by the way, if you're sitting there thinking, I don't have that voice, I'm going to give you 5 seconds and just let you listen to what that voice has to say about what Brandon, myself, or you are doing. Chances are you just had a thought or 10, and it's not bad. We're human beings. We have this voice, this observer that's constantly judging, evaluating ourselves, other people. And sometimes that voice can be of an angry person when we were a child. I was working with a thought leader yesterday for myself on this, and I realized that I have a punishing voice. Her name is Juicy. And I think I've shared this maybe years ago on the show, but when my business coach first had me do some work with this, we all have different parts. Every part of us is there in some way to protect us and help us grow. But until we up-level and we mature these parts of ourselves, they might cause us pain. They might punish us, punish other people, judge us, judge others. And the first step, as Brandon mentioned, is to begin to dance with this voice, to begin to observe it, and to realize that, yes, that is a voice, but is that your voice? Is that your voice? When I've had it happen to me, Brandon, where I've had my voice, I'll say, oh, you suck. You're such an idiot. It's just like, wait a second. I wouldn't tell anybody that. Why on earth would I say that to myself?
Well, that right there, if you want to silence if you want to get the dream job, I'll tell you this. Ask yourself, what would I tell my best friend in this situation? What would I say? Hey, if someone came to you and be like, I bombed this interview, I'm the worst person in the world, I'm so stupid. Would you ever go, yes, you are. You are an idiot. Yeah, totally. I totally agree. I've been meaning to tell you for 27 years that you're a freaking moron. No one is ever going to speak that way to you. And so I love that advice. What would you tell? My sister actually had this the other day. Like, what would I tell my daughter? I had this with this amazing thought leader, diversity inclusion expert, HR guru, one of the best in the world. And she was struggling with a decision. And I said, well, what would you tell your sister in this case. And she was like, I know exactly what to tell my sister. You know, not even a colleague. What would I tell the person I care most about in the world? And it was the opposite, the absolute fundamental opposite of how she was approaching the situation for the last 6 months. That is how little we value ourselves and how much we're willing to harm ourselves. And I think this is the thing that we need to get clear on. When we do this, we are trying to protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. We think we're protecting ourselves. It's there because we learned if I do this, it'll protect me from pain, or it will avoid harm, or some other lesson we think we learned somewhere. So it's not there to be bad. It's to protect you. So you just said, so why does that resonate for you, Jennifer, when you hear that?
Yeah, it's just so on point. I was working with thought leader Lyon Goodman last night on that. And oh my God, this is embarrassing. I can't believe I'm going to share this. I was not planning to share this, but I was experiencing feelings of rage, just anger. And people look at me and they're like, you're so peaceful and you meditate. And for me, I had this complete inconsistency that I'm somebody who meditates and tries to do good in the world. And I do good to the best of my ability. And yet sometimes I'm human and I get angry or upset or frustrated. And, you know, so the guy I was working with, Lyon, says, Jen, I want to talk to this part of you that's the protector and the punisher, juicy. I'm like, oh God, I don't think I can do this. So he's like, okay, change positions. So I change positions. And then all of a sudden he's like, hi, is this juicy? I want to talk to you. And she's like, you suck. And he starts trying to engage with her. But it was the extremeness of it, Brandon, is what really hit me, is to see how there is this aspect of myself that feels like she needs to protect, like the little 3-year-old me that in some way or shape or form was endangered. And so how do we harmonize? How do we allow all these aspects of ourself to be there? And as one of my other friends and thought leaders, Mark Goldston, taught me, who's a famous psychiatrist, he said, Jen, sometimes you just say, stop it. If you can catch yourself, if you can pause for a millisecond and you notice that you're speaking to yourself in an unkind way, you're about to go into the interview, you're about to hop on the Zoom call for it, and you notice that that little voice is nagging you and just saying, you suck, you bombed the last interviews, you got fired from that job 5 years ago, they're going to find out and they're never going to hire you. Imagine in your head having a trusted advisor. It could be your best friend, your parent, your significant other, whomever, and imagine that voice just saying, stop it, and redirect, and then insert something that would inspire you. Mm-hmm. You're going to nail this. You're awesome. They can't wait. They will be lucky to have you. And when we begin to play with this, then we're not looking to take from the interviewer. I think this is where a lot of people fail. Cancel, where a lot of people have an opportunity to grow as human beings is that they go to the interview looking to take. They want to take the job. They want to take that promotion. Mm. And what if instead you already gave to yourself, you already shifted that voice and you're like, I am enough. I am extraordinary. I got this. Then you're going to be able to go in and receive a job.
Yes.
And it's a totally different energy. If you've ever sat across the table from somebody, if you've been in a hiring position or maybe you've been on a date, when somebody's trying to take something from you, you feel like kind of icky. It's like, oh, I don't want this. This is gross. I don't want to be in the same room with this person. And that's how the interviewer feels often. Versus when you give to yourself first and you open yourself up to receiving, then it's like magic. Then it's like the first words come out of your mouth and they're like, yeah, I want to work with you. You're fabulous. Of course. So it's about.
Well, it's. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Jennifer.
Go right ahead.
No, because I want to honor something. Not now. Yes. And these are improv words. Yes. And something you said there, you said to receive. But what I'm hearing is that it's in that moment that you're actually giving.
Yes.
And that is. Early in our career, it gets a little harder. The first few jobs, you kind of got to go in and say, you know, there's a little hand in hand of give me this opportunity, right? That's just the nature of graduating college, I guess, or law school or fill in the blank. But the further we go in our career, it is less I'm receiving and more I am giving. And one of the things that I love to say for interviewers is don't tell them what you've done. Tell them what you're going to do. And even if you don't get the job, maybe you gave that interviewer a tip that they can bring to their CEO and say, listen, I think we should be doing this. And if you do that, even if you don't get the job, you made an impact. And you left a good taste in the mouth. And you know what? If you interview a year or two later with the same company, they'll remember you. And so I think there's that the ability to receive and the ability to give. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, Jennifer.
Yeah, 100%, Brandon. And the thing that I'm going to challenge you on and challenge our listeners to consider is that we all have the capacity to give from the moment we are born to the moment we retire.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
So
right.
Even if you're going into your first job, I think that if we're coming from a space of lack of, I don't have anything to give, you do. Take it back to Brandon's top three things. Maybe you're a great listener. Maybe you're really good at strategizing, whatever it is. And from the moment that you sit in that interview, it might be on Zoom or in person or wherever and whenever it is, ask yourself, how can I be of service? And listen for what skills you have that you're going to be able to contribute. Because I think that can lead to feelings of self-worth. Oh, I don't have 20 years of experience. Honestly, I have to do a kudos to a woman I was just on a call with right before this named Lee. So I get on this call and I'm part of a group called the Founders Network, which as an aside, highly recommend. Shout out to Kevin and the whole team over there. If you're a founder and trying to start a company up, for a couple hundred dollars a year, they give you great resources. So I jump into this room knowing I have the show and I'm like, oh, I'll just kind of hang out in the background in a room full of people. Well, no, it was me, the woman who was putting it on, and this woman, Lee. And so we all get on this call and Lee shares that she is an undergraduate college student who is launching her first company as an undergrad, like using natural language programming, et cetera. Now, it would be very easy for Lee or anybody to go, oh, I can't, you know, I don't know how old she was, but 20, 22 years old. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the this or the that. It would be very easy to come up with a million reasons why Lee is not about to launch a multi-million or billion-dollar company that will be hugely successful. But it's having that tenacity and knowing that we all have a gift. We all have ways to be of service. And just to go out there, and it doesn't matter if you're 18 or 88 years old, you have a gift and your goal in life is to share it. But first, you have an opportunity to own that. So those are my thoughts, Brandon.
No, it's perfect. And I think challenge accepted. You're right. But I have the perspective of the younger me that was that insecure, that was shocked that anyone would give me any opportunities. And so that followed me. Yeah. God, I wish I had the confidence of that 23-year-old. God, I wish I had the confidence of the 18-year-old. And I think it's also where we focus our energy and our attention. I'll never forget having a conversation with my father a couple of years ago where I said, you know, I always lost I played tennis in high school and college. And I said, you know, every game you came to, I lost. And I always, one of my great regrets, and he goes, what do I care about whether you lost a game in tennis? You seem disappointed more than I was. I could care less. And I said, well, I thought you would be proud of me. He goes, Brandon, you were a kind person who only wanted people to feel better. And you listened to their concerns and you tried to help them. And I remember starting to cry because I realized that was around the time when I was starting to do that for a living. And so that thing that I did when I was 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 forward is what I do now. And I brought that into law, certainly. And I brought that into recruiting, certainly. I certainly bring into my, what I call professional partnership coaching that I do now, or corporate engagements. And I want to honor one last thing.
Yeah, please.
So I don't know if anyone was following it. I rarely watch soccer. My daughter's really into it these days. So I was watching Euro 2020, and it was England versus Italy. And at the end of the game, it comes down to a penalty shoot. And the way a penalty shoot works in soccer is there's five different players that shoot, and whoever gets the most scores. It's sort of random chance to some degree. But that being said, despite the fact that I think it's the worst way to decide anything in sports, but that's besides the point. And the three players on the England squad who miss happen to be people of color. And these, in this case, young black men miss a shot and they're faced immediately with an outpouring of hate, racism, disrespect, and disgustingness. I don't understand how you can be a fan of a player 1 second and then spew racism and hatred the next. But that's besides the point. That one of the most powerful men I've ever heard as of late is this young man named Rashford. And that's his last name. And he said, I felt as if I let everyone down. I can take critique of my performance all day long. My penalty was not good enough. It should have gone in. But I would never apologize for who I am and where I came from. And I just thought, and then he talks about how his pride for the team he works with and everything. And that strength of character, that awareness that I feel bad about missing a shot. But if you're going to make me feel bad about who I am, for nothing is short of the color of my skin, I won't apologize for that. And I think that whether it is the color of our skin or the content of our character, to quote Martin Luther King, or to paraphrase, we shouldn't apologize for who we are. We spend so much of our life, and people of color have to do this constantly. And you know, and I know who I am. I know what I look like. I know that I'm a white cis male, and the stupid amount of privilege that we have, on, you know, and that we're unaware of so often. But people are forced in this world to apologize constantly for who they are, and then they beat themselves up for who they are. And I just love that there's a person who says, "I'm proud of who I am." Every single day, I'll make mistakes like anybody else on earth, but I'm not going to apologize for me. And I think we spend so much of our lives unconsciously or consciously apologizing for who we are. And if we could all just stop apologizing for who we are and who we're meant to be, then you can accept the mistakes.
Wow, Brandon, I'm so grateful and touched that you just brought that story up. You know, I don't follow football. And I had a friend of mine who lives in London and was telling me today how heart-wrenching it was to be a Black woman in London and the riots and just how unsafe and unseen and unheard she felt as a human being. And I think that's such a beautiful note to kind of leave today's show on is don't ever apologize for who you are. Own your greatness. Own the extraordinary human being that you are. And go out in the world, and if people do put you down, maybe have compassion for them. That's my message for this week. There's a meditation. I've been struggling. Like I said, you know, I'm doing my own work. We're all human beings having a human experience. And there's been a meditation on Insight Timer that I've been listening to almost every day. That's 4 minutes. And the woman starts off by saying, you know, put your right hand on your chest and just say, "I'm having a hard time right now. Everybody feels this way sometimes. I will be kind to myself in this moment. I will give myself the compassion that I need." And I just think it's something so beautiful that, to your point about what just happened, Brandon, that we can all embrace, and no matter what we're going through, you know, that we can bring that out into the world.
Yeah, God, I needed that when I was a kid, I'll tell you. And I felt like I was constantly apologizing for who I was, whether that was for not fitting in, for not being for being a sensitive guy, whatever it was. I felt like I spent my entire life apologizing and had so much pain and shame around it. And I think so much of us, so many of us, don't ever put our hand to our heart, or in this case, find the people who can help us see ourselves for who we truly are and who we're meant to be again. So we'll wrap on that, my dear friend, and go get that dream job and contact. And don't forget to email us at getyourselfthejob@gmail.com. Connect with us on LinkedIn. Write us questions. This came from an audience question. Anything you want to know, we're here to see you, help you, listen, and support.
Yeah, so such great advice. And in fact, we want to do a show coming up here in the next few weeks that is 100% based on audience questions. So if you have a burning question, we've been getting a lot of responses about the resume writing one. So sometimes we do understand, sometimes we take a more esoteric view of how do you live your life purpose and feel fulfilled as a human being, which is equally as important as writing a great resume and having great interviewing skills. So please feel free to write us your burning questions. As Brandon mentioned, getyourselfthejob@gmail.com. You can leave us your comments on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job, or on iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, on our Facebook page for Get Yourself the Job. We're so grateful, and you know, we always do the best that we can to respond in a timely fashion to any comments, and we would love to incorporate them in future shows. And for anybody who's interested as well, I'm grateful to be part of an amazing entourage of people next Thursday, July 22nd and July 23rd, Friday. I'm part of a group that's going to be put on by a company called Formula EQ. So again, it's Formula EQ.com. Myself, Mark Victor Hansen, Dr. Bradley Nelson, who I've had the pleasure of interviewing, both of those gentlemen, you know, does great work on emotions, how we all have emotions stuck in our body. And I'll be doing a talk at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And it's free to join us at formulaeq.com to register. And we'll be talking about how to achieve, reclaim, and command your destiny. So that's my commitment for each of us, that we're not just getting our dream job, but that we're actually commanding our destiny. So I'm Jennifer Cahill. It's been a pleasure. Thank you to Brandon Maslin, and thank you to each of you tuning in. Whatever you're going through, know you are not alone. There are resources out there. There's a great website called Never Alone. It's one of Deepak Chopra's projects. So, you know, reach out, like Brandon said, if you're having a tough time, if you're feeling your self-worth is dwindling, you know, be kind to yourself and reach out for the resources you need. Sending everybody lots of love.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.